children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Oh my god. What a fucking... I'm just like I have to talk about this movie now. It's
oh yeah,
it is a experience, I would say.
I was talking to someone who also loves this movie.
Yeah,
and he was like, I told someone else to watch this movie, and I'm really excited for the rage text. And I remember when you texted me after you saw it, and you were just like, "What the fuck?" And I was like, "Yes."
Yeah, it was like more, I wouldn't say rage. It was like baffled, like overwhelmed a little bit. I'm like, hold on a second, I didn't. No. Well, yeah. The thing is, it's like a...
Were you high?
Yes, it was pretty lit.
Okay, because I specifically told you you needed to be high when you watched it.
I made a whole thing. I got lit to hell. I waited till night. Like, I needed, like, pitch black out my window.
Yeah, darkness and, like, being high. The first time I watched it was during the day, but mm-hmm. I was high. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this time I was drunk and... it was night, so it was like pretty late too.
Yeah, no, it was a whole thing, and then I remember when shit started hitting the fan.
The last like 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I was like, normally movies end at this point, and there's another 20 minutes to half an hour left. So I looked at the time. I'm like, why are we getting to the third? Like, why are we wrapping up? I don't know why we're wrapping up. Like, and then I was like, oh wait, it's another half hour of content here.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, I mean, we might as well just talk about
it. Yeah, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible Peoples Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
The fuck is this shit?
Anthony, the fuck is this shit, Fuentes? Yeah,
probably the exact text I sent. Somewhere in there.
No, yeah. This week, we are talking about Society from 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, yeah. But we love the 80s.
As we totally... This is the season of the 80s for sure. This is some interesting stuff.
I am so excited to talk about this movie. By the time that... I think this episode comes out the day after my birthday.
Yeah, yeah. It's on that Wednesday, the 15th.
So this is my birthday pick.
Damn. That is a good... An interesting telling for the next year of your life right here is to set it off with this fucking movie.
Hopefully there's minimal shunting involved. Oh my God. So let's go ahead and get started. Anthony... Yield IMDb synopsis. Oh, it's your turn. You get to introduce this bitch.
Hardly get these, but let's see. So, an ordinary teenage boy discovers his family is part of a gruesome orgy cult for the social elite. Yeah.
See, for some reason, I thought the IMDb synopsis is it was gruesome incest orgy cult. And I was like, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. But I think they left that out. They're like, no, we need to leave some intrigue.
Right, exactly. That deserves to be discovered organically, I would say, for sure. This is directed by Brian Yuzna, and it was written by Woody Keith and Rick Fry, and it was produced by Keith Wally. Were all these cartoon fucking characters that made this goddamn movie? Rick Fry, Woody Keith,
Woody Keith.
And Sylvester the Cat produced.
All right, Tweety the Bird was there.
Oh my
it was
God,
crazy.
Dude, Tweety was in the orgy for sure. She flew out a hole.
Oh yeah, someone's like weird mouth hole for
oh
sure.
Oh my God. Oh. I taught. Oh no.
No.
Oh, that made this so much worse.
Ruining childhood. Yeah. One cartoon at a time.
I see. I watched a cartoon video essay this morning while I was eating breakfast.
About the Looney Tunes.
Well, it was about lost cartoons, like racist cartoons.
Was Tweety Bird a secret racist?
No, but I think it is speculated she does have some clan attachments, but I think they cleaned up her image pretty well. I almost killed Alex. I'm completely making that up.
I thought for like a split second I was like, what? And then I realized you were fucking with me, and then I inhaled my coffee. Oh,
you know, yeah, Ku Klux would be Foghorn Leghorn. I said, I saw him using the wrong fountain.
Thanks, Anthony.
Oh, way to start off this one. Okay,
everyone's just mad racist against the Tasmanian devil.
Oh my God, that'd be horrible. He's just crossing borders, fucking left and right. He just ruined the fence. This one is starring Billy Warlock, more cartoon characters, Devin DeVasquez, just a Mexican, Evan Richards.
Devin DeVasquez is Playboy Centerfold for June 1980-something.
Oh, shit. 1980-something?
Yeah. I didn't look up the actual year, but yeah, she's a Playboy, playmate.
Oh, well, that is worth a Google in a little bit.
Just letting you know. For all the inquiring, curious minds out there.
Oh, fun. This is also starring Richard Evans, Ben Meyerson, and Heidi Kozak.
It's Evan Richards? You said Richard Evans.
Whatever. two first names. Yeah. Richard Evanson. This is...
Heidi Kozak was in Friday the 13th and New Blood.
Mm. To be covered in two more installments. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, New Blood?
New Blood's number 7, isn't it? We still have to do 6.
I thought I could have sworn we were...
No, we got Jason Lives next. And then...
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah.
We're only on 5?
We're only on 5. Remember, we skipped a year for the Friday the 13th because it was in August.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought we were way further ahead.
No, we're only halfway through. There's plenty more Jason to go.
We're halfway there. Damn.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this bitch came on a June the 12th, which is also a Friday, 1989. And also in the UK on June 11th, 1992, in good old London. Now,
fucking old London town.
Yep. Surprise no one. There is actually not a lot of box office info on this particular movie.
I scoured Box Office Mojo. I was like, show me anything. Anything about this movie. And they were like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you.
I feel like a lot of your movies lack performance metrics because so few people have seen them. They're like, we're not even going to bother.
No. I like that you're like, also like, a lot of your movies, your obscure ass niche picks.
Oh, it's great. This is perfect though.
Anyway, so let's talk about the director, Brian Yuzna. Brian Yuzna is an American producer, director, and writer. He's obviously best known for his work in the science fiction and horror film genres. He was born in Manila, Philippines, to American parents from Minnesota, Florence. Jesus Christ. I wrote this. From Minnesota, Florence and Sylvester Yuzna. His father was of Slovenian descent, and his mother was Finland, Swedish, and Italian ancestry. What they were doing in the Philippines,
yeah.
I'd love to know.
Is he not like a GI or something? Like what?
I don't know. It could be like a military thing, yeah. I'm thinking. But yeah, like he's from the Philippines. He speaks fluent Spanish and his parents are like white.
Oh shit, I know they are. I always like the name Florence, by the way.
It's a very pretty name.
It's a very, very pretty name. Yeah. Yeah.
He grew up in Nicaragua, Puerto Rico, and Panama.
Damn.
Yeah, so he just did a little loop-de-loop.
He's more Latino than I am.
Yeah, I mean, he speaks fluent Spanish, yeah, so...
I can't even order food.
Oh, no. Before moving to the United States in the 60s, settling in Atlanta, Georgia. I think he's a military kid.
He has to be a military kid. Yeah, because Panama base. That's right. And Puerto Rico as well.
And
okay.
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think Georgia also has a military base. Anyway.
Yeah, he did the John McCain route. Yeah.
Yeah. Throughout the 70s, Yuzna lived on a commune in North Carolina and worked odd jobs such as a carpenter and like a busboy at a restaurant.
Oh, so he really went against the American dream on that one, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like, fuck you, Dad!
Mm-hmm. I'm living off the land. I'm working odd jobs to get my thing. I'm going to do Jesus' thing, do a carpenter. I'm going to make some food.
Yuzna began his career as a producer, co-producing the horror films Reanimator from 1985, Beyond from 86, and Dolls from 87.
Wow.
For his friend, director Stuart Gordon, who we will definitely get into one of these days.
Oh, yeah.
Dolls scares the shit out of me.
Honestly, for listeners here, one of these was almost a birthday pick.
Yes.
It was one of them was almost, but we ended up doing the stuff instead.
Yeah. Dolls. Have you seen Dolls?
Oh, only once when I was a kid because it was scary.
Because it was scary.
Yeah, it was very scary. And yeah. I remember like scenes from it because my grandma would watch it. She loved that shit. I don't know fucking why, but it was always...
Grandmas loved Dolls.
Yeah, well, she loved horror movies.
Right, but also like they do grandmas love Dolls.
I know. Yeah,
it's really weird.
The silent generation, they're just weirdos. Yeah. So she would always... I remember I was walking on this like all the fucking scenes of just terror.
Terror.
Yeah, I would.
I remember. Well, I was explaining this to someone the other day, but dolls, mannequins, like marionette dolls, all of them, they scared the shit out of me. Like, that is the one thing that genuinely, I don't know why it is. I mean, it's Uncanny Valley.
Uncanny Valley, yeah.
But, like, it creeps me the fuck out.
Oh, porcelain shit. Yeah, I'll break that shit every time. I don't care.
No, it's just dolls. Like, I don't, and it,
yeah, my sister's room was filled with dolls. Because they all came from our grandmothers, and they all love that shit, and just lined up on the walls.
On the walls, yeah.
Lots of fucking, yeah, like, lots of dolls.
I'm really grateful that my grandma was never one of those grandmas. She did not give a shit.
Oh, well, that's good.
I had stuffed animals, but I think that might be why. I just didn't grow up with, like, creepy dolls staring at me all the time.
I couldn't go into my sister's room. I was like, just knock the door, dinner's good, you go downstairs.
I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm not even looking at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must have seen that room like 4 times in my entire lifetime in that house.
Yeah. Yuzna also co-wrote From Beyond alongside Gordon, and the two went on to co-write Honey, I Shrunk the Kids the same year.
My God, this guy was hustling.
Yeah. He's got some credits. So, in 1989, he made his directorial debut with the satirical body horror film Society, the wonderful topic of conversation today and why we're all here.
Yay!
Yuzna went on to direct a series of horror sequels, including Bride of Reanimator, Silent Night, Deadly Night 4, Initiation,
wow,
Return of the Living Dead 3, and before directing, I think it's a solo thing, The Dentist.
No, that is a sequel to The Hygienist. Yeah, what is wrong with you, Alex?
Yeah, but he did also direct a sequel to The Dentist, and it also has a very funny title.
What is it?
It's like, oh, God, I'm going to have to look it up. God damn it, Anthony. Got to ask me these questions.
I know. You said funny title.
I know.
My mind is running through titles of what it could be.
Okay, what do you think it is?
The Dentist 2. Cavity Search.
That's a good one. Right? I actually think I like that better. Oh, I don't think it actually has one. It's just... Oh, no. Okay.
What is it? I have to know. Is it close?
No. there's three ones.
Oh, my God. Okay.
The Dentist 2, Brace Yourself. D2, Without Novocaine. Oh. And The Dentist 2, You Know the Drill.
Oh, my God. I thought you were saying brace yourself, like brace yourself for these titles.
No, it's...
But that's the title.
It's The Dentist 2, Brace Yourself.
Oh my God. The Dentist 3, Return of Incisor. Like, just there's this lot... Wow.
Oh my God. And then D2, Without Novocaine, and The Dentist 2, You Know the Drill.
Oh my God.
That is fucking hilarious.
You know they only did D2 to try to get that Mighty Ducks fucking, like,
I was
like
thinking offset. X2.
No, D2, the Mighty Ducks, what was it called? Strike Back? No. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was a long time. It was 90s or a weird time.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. That's not what we're here today. We're here for Society.
Oh, we'll have to get to the dentist at some point. So,
I mean, we have nothing but time, baby. No, nothing but time.
Oh my God. That is insane. All right, so after having several of his productions fail for lack of finding a director, Yuzna decided to move into directing himself. So as producer of Reanimator, he held the rights to a sequel and knew he could find financing. He used this as leverage for a 2-picture deal, the first of which turned into Society. Now, Yuzna later cited the film's mix of paranoia, black humor, satire, and gore as alienating to mainstream audiences.
What?
I mean, yeah, like, man's face growing out of an ass.
Butthead.
Yeah. Brian Yuzna claimed...
Discount Marty McFly, dude.
Oh, I know. It's not mainstream. It's not a mainstream movie.
No.
It's not a mainstream movie. But Brian Yuzna claims he back-engineered the film's plot points based on special effects ideas for gimmicks, stating he was more interested in the surrealism of the story than the actual logic of this picture.
I think the actress who played the aunt in fucking Sleepaway Camp would have been perfect in this movie.
Oh, definitely.
Like, the surrealism.
Oh my God, her acting style?
Like, the surrealism and, like, the weird just kind of, like, flowiness of, like, how she just talked would have been fucking on point.
Like, I had to, like, drape her in that, like, high-intensity light, though, just to keep the vibe going.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Oh, yeah, because this movie's not artistically shot. I would say that.
What?
Oh my God. But Yuzna said he wanted the safety of having 2 pictures to establish himself as a successful director. Sure. First time we're hearing of him, okay. While writing, Usenet eventually altered the script from a traditional slasher film climax about one about religious cult to the surrealistic aliens.
Wow. We've been here as long as you. No, you sound like fucking aliens, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, that's not human diction right there. Brian Usenet cited the Spiral Staircase from 1946 and Rosemary's Baby, definitely see that, from 1968. Definitely no. As the film's biggest influences, particularly in terms of paranoia as a major element. So yeah. The hospital used for the exterior shots is the same hospital used in Halloween 2. Okay. And Billy Warlock's father, actor, stuntman, and podcast favorite, good old Big Dick Dickie Warlock, played the Shape in Halloween 2. I knew it. I'm like, I know that last... Is it going to be...
Is it going to be
Richard Warcock's fucking kid?
Richard Warcock. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I had that thought. I was like, Billy Warlock. There's no way. There's no way they aren't related. There's no fucking way. that's his kid.
I'm going to try to separate myself from my father's legacy. My stage name is going to be Billy Loomis.
Damn.
Oh, son of a bitch, really? And, of course, the production company introduced him to Screaming Mad George, who they knew to also be interested in surreal gore. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Cool, good times. Now, special effects artist Screaming Mad George began as a punk rock musician and played with the late 90s band The Mad. Now, just as an aside here, I love how many, like, interesting figures are totally part of the punk rock scene in the 80s. Like, like Danny Elfman.
Mm-hmm.
He is, like, a straight-up punk rocker. Shigeru Miyamoto, who was in a punk band in the 80s, and he went on to create Mario and Zelda. So I'm like, these creative types, they just knew something about punk back then.
I mean, yeah, there's a default rebellious nature to it.
Right? See? It's so weird how they either went super creative or like fucking Nazis.
That was the
line in the sand, right? I think if you're dumber, you become the Nazi part.
Oh, no.
And if you're smarter, you kind of, you know.
You become a creative genius?
Yeah, your creativity, I think, is just the part you focus on. Yeah. Instead of like...
Well, I mean, I think underneath that, if you want to take it, if you want to peel it back a step further... I mean, it's empathy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a very, very good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of empathy behind being able to create something that's going to make someone just be like, ugh. Like, because you have to know what's going to make them go, ugh.
Yeah.
Or with Zelda, like, you know, something that's going to make someone feel the way Zelda makes so many people feel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's so many people's favorite video game.
Oh, and it's just one of those things that creatively you can tell... Shigeru Miyamoto was going against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
And
or being innovative. Yeah.
Being very innovative. Same with Danny Elfman. Nothing sounds like Danny Elfman.
No.
Like, that's just... And these people, you know...
I was talking to Phil about this the other day, because him and Savannah came over to watch Obi-Wan Kenobi, and we were talking about Danny Elfman's performance at Coachella. The man's ripped. He's, like, Savini-level ripped.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's She just,
he's fucking ripped. It's crazy. I'm like, what is it, like these men from the, like these men in, like, their late 60s, early 70s.
Well, and are still alive.
Well, I know, but they're, like, ripped. I'm like,
Harrison Ford, same shit.
He's ripped?
Harrison Ford is ripped as fuck.
What?
He works out all the time.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's because he wants to live forever.
I think he does. He just wants to be that. It's like, he needs to be a grumpy old man, but he's pushing the old part of that. He really wants to be that.
How old is Harrison Ford?
I think he's like in his 70s now, right?
Harrison Ford. Welcome to the podcast, guys. He's 79?
Yeah.
And he's my fucking ripped, dude. Oh, yeah, he is kind of.
Damn. I know. See?
And he's going to be in Indiana Jones 5.
God, I got to start working out. Okay. Gotta start working out. Yeah, I'm already short. I live longer traditionally than other people, so I got to make sure that, like, you know, I compound.
You're like a dog. Like, how small dogs live, like, way, way longer than big dogs.
No. As a Mexican, I have Chihuahua lifespan built into me. Like, that's how that works, I think. That's science. Yeah.
That's science.
That's how science works. That's how... Yeah, I agree. So,
Jesus Christ. Moving on!
Yeah, let's keep going. Okay. So, good old Mad George's gory music videos led to a job in the film industry where he worked on, of course, special makeup effects. And, again, a lot of talent here. Like, the dude knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's a punk guy. So, his early work includes effects on Big Trouble in Little China... Predator, fucking amazing movie, which we're totally going to cover one day. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, again, probably the best Freddy sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The cockroach scene in A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. And The Arena in 1989, which I know nothing about.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's like all of these great movies and then Arena, which I'm like, I don't know anything about you.
To be fair, it could have amazing special effects.
It could.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But look at the list before that. Definitely makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen Big Trouble in Little China, but I know it's like generally well liked.
Oh, it's a cult classic. For yeah. Sure.
Widely
yeah.
beloved,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. One of them.
One of them. One Kurt of Russell them. Doing his thing.
Oh, man. Oh, I can't wait till we get to more Carpenter. Okay, so in 1989, he also began a long-term collaboration with director Brian Yuzna, with, of course, Society. For his incredibly notable work, let's look at some reviews just about the effects. Let's fucking do it. So, in a negative review, Variety called the film's SFX-laden climax, quote-unquote, sickening. And the Austin Chronicle called the effects cheesy. Bitches.
Sickening? I feel like that's a positive.
Yeah.
I
think you're supposed to feel
I think like, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't, I'd be concerned.
Oh, so what you're saying, it's effective, Variety? Mm-hmm. Effective. There you go. That's a better word. In more positive reviews, the Los Angeles Times called George the real star of the film. And Empire wrote, Yuzna and his veteran special effects man Screaming Mad George serve up this literal slime with such verve, wit, and overall verbal and visual flair that the movie also stands as one of the very finest of teen comedies.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't even know if it's a teen comedy. It's a teen experiment.
Teen experiment, yeah, I agree.
So, for the film's most surreal and gory sequence, The Shunting, Yuzna based it on his nightmares. Okay, he accurately portrayed nightmare logic. That's how that works. Wow, okay, cool use. I respect him a little more for that. The sequence was further inspired by many Salvador Dali paintings, including one called The Great Masturbator, which I actually saw a YouTube video on that recently.
The Great Masturbator?
Well, about Salvador Dali and kind of how he his style adapted over time to kind of be more modernized. Yeah, I like my YouTube video.
Actors. Sure, I don't know how you fell into a hole so deep you started watching Salvador Dali essays.
I do watch a lot of like cinematography essays and stuff.
Okay.
So the art stuff kind of like, cause people aren't very inspired by Salvador Dali.
Okay, that makes
you
sense.
You know me. I'm fucking.
I do. You're yeah, weird. It's yeah. fine. I understand.
Film essays, true crime, and of course, comedy podcasts. That's just my YouTube. Oh, and history videos. See? That's just.
Yeah, I fell asleep once watching YouTube and woke up in the middle of a 3-hour lecture about rocks from the Met.
Oh. I love geology.
You're right. It was just like, it was more like a, yeah, it was an archaeology thing. And I was just like, how did we get here?
Yeah. No, the algorithm was just like, science? You watch one thing, a little science. How's some more science? How about some more science?
The YouTube algorithm is insane. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good. It's fucking good. But yeah. It is like very creepy.
Oh, absolutely. One of them they gave me recently, which I got stuck on, was just 3.5 hours of like scary hitchhiker stories. I'm like, I'll just watch a couple. But I was like working and I'm 2 hours in. I'm like, what the? I've been watching this for the length of a movie and it's just one guy talking about creepy hitchhiker shit that people sent to him.
Wait. I want to watch that.
Oh, I got to get it. I think it's like Dark Five or something. Like, not Dark Five. No. I don't know. You don't mind creepy YouTube channels.
No, yeah,
I'll
yeah.
find it for you. Was I'll it find like it for you.
NextPro? Was it? I'm trying to think.
No, NextPro would be way creepier. I don't think he does videos for that long.
I mean, he can.
Oh, top fives.
Okay, yeah.
Top fives is creepy. So they did a compilation of all yeah. of their hitchhiker videos, and it was mm-hmm. captivating.
Oh, I remember we were talking about Fascinating Horror, and you forgot yeah. who they were the other day, or yes. you forgot who they were, and I opened up YouTube, and the first thing that popped up was Fascinating Horror. I'm like, that's who he was talking about.
Oh, that's me and Ruben Bond over Fascinating Horror.
Fascinating Horror is good.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Oh, my man. Gosh. Yeah, YouTube. There you go. Different time. This is clearly not in that era. So, author John Towson identifies political themes important from paranoid science fiction thrillers, such as Invasion of the Body Snatchers and Invaders from Mars. Yuzna has become well known for his sci-fi and horror films, Society obviously included. And now, Society was ready to be seen by the good old public. How'd that turn out?
Well, you know.
I mean, up top we had no information on stuff. So
yeah. So I got some like conflicting information because it says it premiered at the Shock Around the Clock Film Festival in 1989 in London, mm-hmm. but it said up top that it didn't, or it said online that it didn't premiere in London until 92.
I think probably wide in 92.
Yeah, it had a wide release in the US in 98, and then I don't know, I'm not sure what happened. But anyway, so for its British release, Society was marketed in Video Trade Weekly with a picture of the film's theatrical premiere.
Hmm.
Mark Kermode called this stupid yet brilliant, as it demonstrated that the distributor did not know how to market the film properly. But it also showed recognition that traditional marketing for a genre film was irrelevant because people were going to see it regardless.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. No matter how stupid you market it. Which is good for a marketer to know. Like, just basically, like, just try it. See what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Society was a success in Europe, but was shelved for 3 years before getting a release in the U.S. So, flip it.
Oh, it was flipped.
92 in the U.S., 89 in the
U.K. That makes more sense. Okay.
In an interview, Usna said, quote, "I think Europeans are more willing to accept the ideas that are in a movie. That's why, for example, Society did really well in Europe and in the U.S. did nothing, where it was a big joke. I think it's because they responded to the ideas in there. I was totally having fun with them, but they are there nonetheless," unquote.
I mean, it's a pretty big attack on yuppie culture, and I think sometimes the U.S. is just like, wait, you're not glorifying it?
Yeah.
You're making fun of it? No.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are our ideals, sir.
or it's like anything that makes fun of like celebrity status or like, you know, just high profile or like higher class life, mm-hmm. where in America everyone's just like crawling to obtain like...
Right?
Just like a tiny sliver of like... you know, like, class recognition.
Like, I'm going to be a millionaire one day, and this is going to be very insulting when I see this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
Which is funny, because just by, you know, how our, like, financial systems work in America, not everyone can be a millionaire.
No. But they're going to do a lot of these crumbs, Alex. Don't worry.
Oh, God.
I know.
They'll lick a lot of boots to get there.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of shitty boots.
So many. Anyway, so on Rotten Tomatoes, Society holds a 62 approval rating, which is par for the course for my selections.
It's true. Pretty divisive.
Based on 13 reviews with an average rating of 5.5 out of 10.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. Tom Tunney of Empire rated it 4.5 stars. I'm sorry, 4 out of 5 stars, and wrote, quote, "way ahead of its time. This is a balls-out satire on the disgraceful layers that can lurk just beneath the Avon surface. Mm. This is anti-Ferris Bueller and fiendishly funny," unquote.
Fiendishly funny, okay.
It does have some funny moments, like, mm-hmm. in the ridiculous way where I'm just like, ah, the 80s.
Oh, yeah, no, I think it was actually a really funny movie, but I don't know how
intentional
it was.
You'd call it a comedy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Wilmington, fucking Wilmington, of the Los Angeles Times wrote, quote, "no one who sees the last half hour of this movie will ever forget it, though quite a few may want to," unquote.
The special effects are so good.
The voice of Society, so to speak, Society, has a 3.5 out of 30,000 reviews on Letterboxd.
Good numbers, okay.
Yeah, the people of Letterboxd enjoy the fuck out of this movie.
This is a Letterboxd movie.
Yes. This is absolutely... This is an obscure-ass, like, fan favorite where everyone on Letterboxd is just like, oh, I like this shit.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is weird.
I can
dig
talk
it.
About this.
I dig this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jay Cheel, with 4 stars, says, quote, "what Jaws did for swimming in the ocean, Society did for attending underground incest orgies."
I mean, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. The next one. Wow. Wow, that's a good review.
Just, would you like to read it?
Yeah. So, Laird, with 4 stars, eyes wide shunt. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Without a rating, Ivy Wolk says, quote, "when you beat the poor allegations." And finally, Malik Indra, with 0.5 star, says, quote, "if anyone says this is their favorite film, or even if they say they like it, run."
Bitch.
It's a walking red flag. Oh. And you know what? I can understand where people have this, like, thought where it's just, like, seeing this and just being so shocked and so, like,
mm-hmm.
incredibly uncomfortable that you're just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then thinking anyone who likes it is just, like, an incredible weirdo.
I mean, I can kind of get that, but also I feel like, from my understanding, from my watching this movie, I think if some, like, you recommending it, like, I'm like, no, I kind of want to talk to that person about this. Like, this, I'm intrigued.
Sure. But it's also like, if someone were to tell me a Serbian film is one of their favorite horror films.
That's not comparable.
It's not comparable. No. No, I'm not saying it's comparable, but I'm saying, like, there are certain horror films that, like, I think are so fucked up.
That's true.
That, like, if someone were to tell me that I should watch it or that I like them, I should watch it, I'm going to take it as just, like, I'm like, I'm going to walk the other way now. You have a great day.
That's a good point. This could be past a certain threshold where everything is.
Yeah, exactly. That like, this could be someone's threshold. Like, for me, I have a and for us, as the nature of what we do, have pretty fucking high thresholds.
That's a good point. That's good. So, if you're a vanilla-ass person, I totally understand the sentiment. That's how that works, yes.
Exactly. So, this movie, and I know I say this about a lot of movies, but this movie deserves a play-by-play.
Yeah, I agree. It deserves a play-by-play, and also, listeners, if you could handle
the shunting.
A
scene called The Shunting.
It's gonna get weird. It's really graphic in a way that is not gory. It's just
grotesque. It's grotesque. So fun.
If you're curious, it is free.
It's free on Tubi.
It's free. It's the HD copy. They leave everything in. You just got a couple commercials in there.
Yeah, and there's tits in this movie.
There is lots of tits. And you know, it's a lot of 80s fun and then some crazy-ass Suspiria-level madness at the end.
It is.
Yeah.
It is very...
It's so Suspiria.
Yeah, another S word. And it's just like surreal. Like there's just a lot of just like weird dialogue where it's just like you feel like a crazy person because for not understanding what's going on because no one is acknowledging that they're talking like crazy people.
They are so talking. It's so wow. Yeah.
Oh like, my god. They'll say something and then everyone's just like, yeah, absolutely. Da 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 da. And you're just like, huh? What?
Let's talk about it. Fuck it. We got to get into this.
We have to.
Yeah, we got to.
No, we have to.
Yeah, listeners, find it. And if you have a high threshold, like we just mentioned, and if you don't, if stuff we've talked about that recommended weirds you out, don't watch it. Just listen to us.
Yeah, if at the beginning talking about Tweety coming out of Tweety Bird coming out of a mouth hole.
Yeah.
And I mean that quite literally.
Mm-hmm. But no, we're not joking around.
No, it is like it's
that
mouth
level,
hole.
That level, yeah. So, fuck it, let's go. Let's go.
Let's jump right into it. You want to kick us off?
I'll kick us off. So, Bill Whitney lives with his parents and sister in a mansion in Beverly Hills, California.
Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be. Living in Beverly Hills. Don't sue us, Weezer.
I know, right? That was 5 seconds. It's totally fair use.
Fair use. We're not. It's fine. If we're not running ads, it's fine.
I shouldn't have done the riff. That's where I fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was so realistic.
Yeah, it was too.
It was too close to it. Yeah. Bill tells his therapist, Dr. Cleveland, that he does not trust his high society family or anyone for that matter.
Right on, Bill. Okay, so when his sister's ex-boyfriend, David Blanchard, gives him a surreptitiously recorded audio tape of what sounds like his family engaging in a murderous orgy, Bill begins to suspect that his feelings are a little justified, I think.
He begins to suspect.
Yeah, he begins
to suspect. He's not convinced, but he begins to suspect.
Yeah, so it's very interesting because it's like you get a snapshot of, like, 80s yuppie life in this whole beginning section.
We get, like, a who wears short shorts, Bill wears short shorts moment. And it is so funny.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's just wearing, like, the full, like, basketball getup. And he's, like, wearing, like, a jacket. But his jacket is as long as his shorts.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, I'm like, oh, the 80s.
Oh, my God, what a time.
Skies out, thighs out, guys. Like, come on. Take inspiration from this.
Oh, my God. Use my hairy ass pale legs, Jesus.
Yeah, your legs are probably really pale. I think I've only ever seen you wear pants. So, yeah. So Bill gives the tape to Dr. Cleveland, but when he later plays it back, the audio has been changed to his sister's coming out party.
Oh my gosh! And again, the whole like coming out party is led up as like this like societal expectation of like, and every girl does it. It's gonna be great and blah blah blah.
Yeah, I had to Google what a coming out party was. Well, the first time I watched it.
Is it like a debut or something? Like
a debut?
Like a film, they call it debut. Yeah, don't they call it a debut? Most people I've known call it that.
Debut.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I had just talked to Filipinos who only knew how to pronounce it that way.
it's like a coming out party in I'm assuming high society life, because I'm white trash, for those of you who don't know. It's like a party where you just like announce like your it sounds like a weird like sexual thing.
Yeah, I would say if you're like birth giving age, essentially.
I think so. Like from what it sounds like, it sounds like a weird evolution of like basically announcing that you are available for suitors.
Okay, that makes sense. I can kind of see that. A little weird.
If you watch like Bridgerton, it's kind of like that. A similar thing kind of happens where you like make your debut and like basically say like, "I'm ready to get married."
Yeah.
Like, Who wants to tap this? Like,
I don't know, right? Like, but I'm gonna be selective,
right? Yeah. So that's pretty much what a coming out party is, which is because I kind of pieced it together because his sister later, like when he's like zipping her up and her back is all sweaty and gross, she's just like. Coming out party's a joke. Everyone knows I've been dating for years. I'm like, why would you say that to your brother?
I mean, to be fair, he did, like, open the shower on her, just tits out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm just like, ah, this is weird.
There's a lot of weirdo stuff like that happening in this whole time.
This whole movie is vaguely incestuous the entire time, and then at the very end, you understand why it's vaguely incestuous.
Yeah, yeah, it's very interesting. Oh, man. Yeah, so it's like a, I don't know. A quinceañera that gets to the point, I guess.
I mean, that's pretty much what a quinceañera is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like a coming out party, but pretty like, much. I mean,
and we do start early. We just,
yeah, she's not 15 in this.
Not that early, usually. No. All right, let's go back. Where did we discuss fucking
coming out parties?
Coming out parties for different cultures.
Yeah.
When Bill attempts to meet Blanchard to obtain another copy. He finds an ambulance and police officers gathered around Blanchard's crashed van.
Oh no!
There's some people don't want him to know shit.
So at this point, it's like, this is like so surreal and creepy, and it's just like, he's just like, it is so gaslighty.
Mm-hmm.
It's
gaslighty.
It is infuriating. Like, as a viewer, like, you're just stressed the fuck out.
But it's gaslighting in this weird, like, 80s, just, like, yuppie ass, just, mm-hmm. like, these are just the expectations, buddy. Why are you asking questions?
Like, yeah, exactly. He's like, don't ask so many questions. Or, like, but it's, like, not just, like, it's everyone. It's mm-hmm. the cops. It's his shrink. It's his parents. It's his, like, except for, like, three weirdos in a van, like, who are just, like, oh, there's a bigger play. It's like basically equivalent of like Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny. Just being like, no, there's a fucking missing link.
Yes, right? Okay, so having worked in Beverly Hills for almost a year and a half, I can tell you, having talked to local business owners. Yeah, I can totally see this.
Yeah, I think most people who like high society, yuppie, like Beverly Hills motherfuckers, I'm pretty sure most of them are like lizard people.
Oh, I've worked for them. They're out of their fucking minds. They are the weirdest, like, it's just normal, right? I'm just like, no, man. Like,
working for insanely rich people, I think, has shaved, like, a decade off of my life. Like, it's so stressful because, like, you have to explain to them, like, the most basic
they're
bullshit.
They're fucking babies, aren't they?
Yeah, they're...
Dude, they're babies.
And you have to explain to them, like, how they can't just, like, do shit.
Yeah. You're like, no, the ad doesn't magically work that way.
Or even just, like, within like plebe society,
yeah,
like having to explain to them like how, like, I don't know, it's just like, well, we can't just walk in and get a table for 45 people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, what do you mean? He's like, what do you mean? What do I mean? I can't just walk in and be like, hey, can I have a table for 20 people?
Yeah,
like, you kind of have to call ahead and plan accordingly. You can't just like show up and slap your dick on the table and be like, I would like this, but I would like suck it, please. Like,
yeah,
like,
what do you... No, why aren't you sucking right now? Uh-huh. No, I that's one of those things that, having now worked with really wealthy people, I have no idea why so many Americans think like, oh yeah, the rich deserve all this stuff.
Because they earned it.
They earned it. No. 90% of these fucking people I work with all inherited.
They inherited it, or they stepped on the backs of like other people who were like just basically like got stepped on.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, that is a cool invention. You don't have the capital to make it work, do you? Well, sorry, buddy.
Or just taking advantage of like the kindness of other people.
That happens a lot. Yeah, that happens.
You know what I mean?
That happens more with their workers and stuff.
Yeah, but just being so fucking cutthroat versus, like,
mm-hmm.
generally people just who have a base level of human kindness. Like, and I'm not talking about, like being fucking Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
I'm just talking like a general base level human kindness.
Yeah, no, they lack that.
And they just lack that.
They lack it completely.
And everyone thinks that's just like, I'm an entrepreneur. That's what you have to be cutthroat. And it's just like, oh, cool. So you're just a massive cunt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's what it takes. Like, if that's the case, I don't want to be a fucking entrepreneur. I'd rather just be nice.
Well, that it's short-term game after short-term game after short-term game. They don't look at it like that.
Absolutely. And then you get to the top, and then it's just like, okay, well, everyone hates me, but I have all this money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I fucking hate capitalists. I hate capitalists. I'm recording, and I need everyone to know that. It's my birthday. I can say whatever the fuck I want.
That's true. And I personally hate inherited wealth because I really think it fucks people's heads up so badly.
Oh, inherited wealth is a whole other ballgame because it's like you literally, like you, yeah, you start at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You, like...
No, but they really don't, like... They lack it. They don't acknowledge, like, people. It's fucking weird. I'm having PTSD thinking about this now. Okay, then let's get back to the movie.
Oh, we can talk about this all day. We have plenty of time. But God. Inherited wealth is a shit show.
And... It's a shit show. That's a good summation of it right there. Yes. And working for them is murder.
I believe that. Speed racer.
What is going on?
Sounds like a bunch of motorcycles.
That is loud.
Akira and Co. Just...
I know. Don't. Right there, Orange County.
I mean, it does take place in, what, 2020?
2019. Yeah, we're past that now.
We're past Akira.
Yeah.
And
Akira took place right before COVID happened.
Imagine, if only.
Oh my god, Tetsuo gets taken out by the fucking coronavirus.
Tetsuo!
This all-seeing god being is like, yeah, his immunity's all fucked up now, though, so they're attacking me.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know, my lungs haven't been the same since. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, a body, back to the movie, is placed into the back of an ambulance, but Bill is prevented from seeing its face, which, you know...
Not suspicious at all.
If I show up at, like, a horrific, like, accident, I'm like, can I see the dead body, please? I don't know anyone here. Like, I don't think the cops will, like, be like, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead.
I know, right? Like, it's an exhibit.
Yeah, go for it.
But it's rich people. He should be able to do this shit.
Right, well, I mean, but that's the thing, is they set this up from the very fucking beginning. Bill is very much, like... A kid who does not fit in with rich kid, with
he's
his rich family.
Yeah.
Like, it's very much, he's just like, I just want to play basketball with my friends. And, like, as opposed to, like, going out and, I don't know, fucking your family.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Or hors d'oeuvres, you know, another thing to lead up to it.
I don't know what fucking high society members do.
It's hors d'oeuvres and then fucking your family.
Hors d'oeuvres and then fucking your
exactly.
family. Right,
first. You need the energy to fuck
first
your family.
Right. First you dine, then you fuck your family.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And somewhere in there is, like, just real clean cocaine. Like, just real clean. Barely any fentanyl.
In the 80s? I don't think there was
I don't think it worked. Yeah.
Zero fentanyl.
Oh, shit. No synthetic anything in there. They had the good shit. So.
Don't do drugs.
No, don't do drugs. We're not endorsing that
at
all.
And if you do drugs, test your shit.
Yeah, please. There are straps. There's strips out there somewhere. You can do it.
Yeah, for free. Yeah, test your shit.
Test your shit. You're good. So, where is it? Bill attends a party hosted by his upper classmates, Ted Ferguson. God, what a fucking name. Who confirms that the first tape was, in fact, real?
Okay, there's a lot that happens between A and B.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he shows up back to his house. And his family members are all sitting around in, like, the weirdest little sitting parlor.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And he's just like, Bill, you got a telegram. I'm like, what the fuck?
What is God, a telegram.
A telegram. And fucking Bill is just like, you don't understand. Cleveland's dead. And they're just like, yeah, I'm gonna miss him. Anyway.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking funny.
Oh.
And he gets invited to this upper-class classmate, Ted Ferguson's party.
Yeah, and, like, everybody automatically, the switch goes on and people know. Like, it's a whole just, like...
It's so weird. Like, mm-hmm. and Ted Ferguson, also, A-plus villain in this movie,
Oh, my God,
too.
Absolutely.
I love Ted Ferguson. And he's such a good, douchey 80s high school villain.
So douchey. Fucking Ted Ferguson, dude. That's him.
It's true. Anyway, so he goes to this party, and Ted Ferguson does confirm that the first tape was real by being like making a ha-ha, I fucked your sister joke.
He does, that's right.
And angry and confused, Bill leaves the party with Clarissa, a beautiful girl he has been admiring throughout this movie.
Yeah, and Clarissa's pretty hot.
Yeah, this is June Centerfold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Clarissa's hot. I can tell, because she's, like, the brownest of the people, so I figured
she's also just, like, the one who has, like, the most, like, sex-me-up eyes. Like. Yeah.
And the whole movie, she is, like, basically playing the Phoebe Cates part in any other 80s movie.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, where she's like, I'm, like, the dark-haired love interest that's actually a good person, and the blonde and everybody else, like, you shouldn't want them, you should want me.
Yeah, like, it's true. The blonde in this movie is, like, so vapid.
Vapid, absolutely, yeah. And again, she's just diet Phoebe Cates. But I'm with it. I'm down with it.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Because I fucking love me some Phoebe Cates. So, where the fuck am I?
The next day.
The next day, Bill confronts his parents and sister at Blanchard's funeral. Bill and his friend Milo discover that Blanchard's corpse may in fact be a phony.
Yeah, why are they poking dead bodies?
Oh, fucking. Yeah, right? Oh my god, it has a little crack.
It sinks in, yeah. And it's just, his cheek is a little all indented. It's very fun.
It's a weird, like, early body horror where it kind of like, oh, that's inorganic, but also totally kind of works in the context of the film.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that was, I don't know if that was the point, but it works.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Bill is contacted by Martin Petrie, his rival for the high school presidency. Again, because what would a high school horror film be without elections?
Yeah, of course. Oh my god.
At their arranged meeting, Bill discovers Petrie with his throat cut. Ah! Oh.
This is basically just She's All That, but with body horror. What this movie is.
Yeah, and then, you know, a shunting.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's right, because fucking, what's-her-face, Clarissa is Lainey Boggs, and then the other people, all the other ladies are just the fake one. From
sure.
Oh, I gotta watch She's All That again. So, wait, is that where I'm at?
Yeah.
Yeah. When he returns with the police, the body is gone. And the next day at school, Petrie shows up alive and well.
Not Petrie from the beloved childhood cartoon, A Land Before Time.
That's exactly where when I read it out, I was like, Petrie, no!
Petrie! When Bill arrives home, he confronts his family again, but with Dr. Cleveland's help, they drug Bill.
Mm.
Oh, God!
Not a good time. No, because Milo trails him with the fucking mom of Clarissa. Bill is taken to a hospital. Bill awakens in a hospital bed and thinks he hears Blanchard crying out, but discovers that nothing is there. Milo tries to warn him, but he drives back to his house.
Okay, so this is where, like, Bill goes entirely off the deep end. He's like, that's mm-hmm. what they want? That's what they'll get? I'm a fucking crazy person.
Yeah, his tone shifts completely. He's like, you know what? I don't have to find out shit. I'm not Scooby-Dooing this. I am a mad lad.
Yeah, and Milo's just like, you're dead, dude. Yeah. You're fucking dead. And he's like, also just like the comedic best friend. He's like, you're dead, dude. Yeah. You're fucking dead.
Oh, he's shagging this bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, and this is the point, like, the narrative point in the film where I was just like, he could just leave. They gave him his car. They mm-hmm. expected him to come back because that's just, like, what they anticipated him to do.
Yeah.
But he could have just driven off into the sunset, never to be seen or heard from again.
But he's got to figure this shit out.
Who gives a shit?
He does. He's dumb.
Just leave.
He's just dumb.
Very. Anyway, back at the house, Bill finds a large formal party.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Cleveland reveals that Bill's family and their high society friends are actually a different species from Bill.
And this is where the real class divide dialogue comes in, because they're just like, we're not like those fucking
regular people. Yeah, and it's just a matter of good breeding.
Yes. Oh my god.
Which really just... love a good eugenic conversation.
Exactly.
In a horror film.
Mm-hmm, while they look at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So, to demonstrate, they bring a still-living Blanchard. The wealthy party guests strip to their underwear and begin shunting.
Mm-hmm.
Physically deforming and melding with each other. as they suck the nutrients out of Blanchard's body and absorb his ass. Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's so weird. It's literally just like a writhing mass of like gooey bodies just like sucking on each other.
Yeah, and it's like skin and blood and it's all bathed.
And, well, it's not even blood. No, not it's even just blood. Goo.
No, it's just goo. You're right. But it's all bathed in this red, like,
yeah,
fucking Dario Argento lighting.
Yeah.
And it's shot chaotically. This whole movie's pretty static and basic. And then all the art house shit happens
at the very last 20 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. It is gross, people.
It's pretty nasty.
But like, you know, the skin is stretchy. Like it stretches and absorbs and puddles and like it doesn't behave.
A+, Screaming Mad George. A+.
Yeah, it is something else. Oh my god.
Their intention is to do the same thing to Bill, but he escapes with the help of Clarissa and runs around the house, finding his family engaged in similarly disgusting activities as he does.
This is where the butthead line comes.
This is where the butthead thing comes on, and his mother and sister are like conjoined.
They're conjoined, and his dad is. Head is part of his ass.
Yeah.
And he reveals the line. And it's like, I guess I am a... Like, what was it?
I guess I am a butthead. Because earlier in the movie, he says, you're a fucking butthead.
Yes.
Which, primo 80s, like, insult.
Oh, absolutely. Total butthead.
Which, again, calling someone a fucking anything and then saying, instead of saying asshole, instead of saying whatever, butthead.
Yeah. Yeah, great stuff. Great, great.
Good dialogue,
Biff
guys.
Biff Tannen level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. Again, discount Marty McFly, guys.
Oh, 100%.
He is discount Marty McFly because of what happens next also.
Oh, so he confronts Ferguson, killing him. Oh, is that, am I on the right one?
No, you are.
Okay. Killing him by reaching inside him mid-shunt and pulling him inside out in a wonderful, gory kill.
Yeah.
Bill escaped with the help of Milo and Clarissa, who, while is of the alternate species, has fallen in love with Bill. And they ride off into
the morning light.
Yeah, I guess so. It's weird.
So, yeah.
That was the movie.
That's literally the movie.
Like, we can't describe this orgy enough, guys. It is.
It's like, I know it's only the last like 15, 20 minutes of the movie, but it is. Wackadoo.
Oh my god, yeah. It is something else. And it really is like the culmination of the whole mystery. Because they're like, oh, you figured it out. Let's start sucking each other off now. Good job, buddy.
Good job.
Yeah, here's your friend right over there. He's gonna be soup. And gonna be soup.
And yeah, we're gonna pull. And then he pulls someone inside out, which I thought was great.
Yeah, I love that the dedication is showing as many organs as they can just splayed out.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So that's society, guys. Holy shit, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a movie.
Whew.
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
Oh, I feel, you know, having went through it and then having visual flashbacks as we start describing scenes. Yeah, this is a very unique film. I don't think I've seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this.
No, it's very unique.
I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
This is, Eyes Wide Shunt, I think, is a very good summation of it.
It's Eyes Wide Shunt, for sure.
Like, it's creepy horror, but also cheesy 80s. Like, as stereotypically cheesy, if they were trying to save, like, a rec center or something, like, through a sports game, they could have the whole A-plot.
Oh, no, if there was, like, there would be a talent show.
Yeah, yeah, you can literally put slot anything into the third act.
Mm-hmm.
With the level of, like, suspicion, like, oh, they're trying to sabotage us, like, kind of, like, mentality, it would totally work. It just happens that it slots into a very gruesome orgy.
Yeah.
Of, like, devouring
porn. The pacing's weird.
It is very weirdly
like,
paced.
It has, like, a fast, like, first act, a long, soggy fucking middle.
It has such a soggy middle, but I gotta say, it's so absurd sometimes, I'm kind of okay with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it has its positives and it has its ups for sure.
But it's a lot of, like, just on the treadmill. Like, it's just going. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not moving forward. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's like noir-ish. It's a weird, like, baby 80s, like, yuppie noir.
Okay.
And then it gets into, you know, obviously what we just talked about, which is body horror.
Sure.
Yeah, but there's a weird, like, you ever see that Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie, Brick?
No.
It's a lot like that. It's the same, he's like a detective kid. And a real yuppie, as
I'm like, sorry, he plays a child detective?
Yeah, well, kind of like a teenage detective. Teenage detective. It's very noir, but it's okay. Also he's trying to figure out a mystery, and there's like okay. a broader thing happening. It's kind of like that, except way less polished.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just... This is 80s.
Hmm.
Yeah. And again, no orgy. There's no orgy in that movie.
Oh.
This is, I mean... Pretty big orgy in this one.
There's so... Yeah, there is.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I actually really like it. I think it's a good movie. Okay. I think it's, like, good. I actually really think it's... Anything that's cheesy and weird, it's one of those movies that feels so intentional.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, it doesn't feel like they're playing it like, and we're just, you know, this is just how movies work. It's more sure. like, no, we're commenting on how shitty this is. And like, we're really making a point to show you that it's kind of bullshitty.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's some art.
Yeah.
So, you know what? It's a bold fucking movie. That's my take. It's bold, worth the watch, if you can handle it.
I agree.
Yeah. How about you?
How am I feeling? I like this movie a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously.
See why. Yeah.
Yes. It's also just like, maybe because I'm just like a little like monster gremlin shithead. Mm-hmm. But I love recommending this movie to people.
Oh my God. I can, yeah. I mean, we're doing it up top, so yeah, I can
right.
see why.
But. Like, you in particular, or just, like, anyone who's, like, a big horror fan who I know, like, isn't going to come back and be like, what the fuck did you just do to me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, but anyone who I can go to and be like, hey, you should watch this movie and let me know what you think about it. just so I can get, like, that just, like, sweet, sweet satisfaction of, like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, it's just, yeah. it's just fun. Oh, because man. It's just so jarring and emotionally just, like, shocking
mm-hmm.
that it's just like I had such a fun time at the end of it. Like, by the time I was just like, wow, that was disturbing and like fucking brutal. I loved it.
Right.
And I don't know, I just kind of like giving that experience to someone else because I knew nothing about it going in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was what was gonna happen. I just was told, like, my friend we went to a rave, and the next day we were, like, watching... She was just like, okay, we're gonna watch this movie. You're gonna like it, though.
Oh, okay.
All right, no. We found... What was it? I forget. But basically, we had both heard about this movie.
Oh, I see. So you're like, fuck it, let's figure it out.
We agreed that we were just like, okay, we're gonna go to this rave, and the next day, we're gonna watch this movie, and we're gonna get really, really high. And we were just like, okay, fuck yes. So we did.
Man. You did this in a group setting?
Yeah, I watched it with my friend, yeah.
Oh, shit. At least you had somebody to bounce ideas off of afterward. Wow.
Yeah, we were both just like, damn.
This movie's an experience.
It is.
It is an experience.
It is absolutely an experience. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You're a lot.
Any other takes on the movie?
I think it's fun. I think it's surreal. I think that, I don't, like.
It's surreal. It has, like, a good message.
It's, like, almost indescribable, right? Like, I'm struggling to eloquently describe how it made me feel, but there's just, like, some surreal, uncanny feelings that it gives, like, mm-hmm. throughout the movie that it's unsettling. Like, you're totally spot on. Like, this is by no means going to win any cinematography awards.
No.
But in terms of just straight up storytelling and special effects, fucking brilliant.
Oh, that's where they put the effort in. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've mentioned this a couple times on, like, way, way forever ago on the podcast, but it's just like, between storytelling, cinematography, and like special effects in horror films, like, you can pick like a couple. Like, it doesn't have to have all three.
No, but it absolutely doesn't.
If you put your entire dick and balls into like one of them,
yes.
like, it's gonna carry it.
Exactly. And the fact that the other portions might suffer might actually enhance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, like, It Follows. Like, entire dick and balls is in cinematography.
Oh, so much of it. So much of it. Paced terribly in a lot of ways.
Paced very strangely.
Very, very not
And the
great.
Plot is kind of like, it's a great concept, but it's just like, it's hard to follow.
It's hard to follow. It follows. and they got a bunch of quiet, mumbly kids. But then when shit hits the fan, yeah. like because of the strength of the visuals and the sound and everything else, like you like, feel that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Sound design and cinematography for It Follows is what carries that fucking movie. Mm-hmm. But because it's cinematography, that's what makes it an artsy horror film.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus this, because everything is being put into special effects and like story, mm-hmm. people are, it becomes a cult classic.
Yeah,
and I'm
exactly.
And the distinction between the two is something that I'm kind of just now realizing, but it's an interesting distinction.
Yeah,
where like if it's not visually like artsy, mm-hmm. it's a cult classic,
right?
But if it's visually appealing or like visual aesthetics, it's like what's traditionally like considered beautiful.
Yeah,
it's art house.
Well, it's also art house. Remember, Alex, if you have quiet, mopey children.
Right, and
you
mumbly.
And mumbly. You have to have that, like, and then these are my feelings. Oh,
and
my God.
They're, like, completely stone-faced.
They're
stone-faced.
Yeah. It's right there. And they're like, oh, was that a sound? And then that's art house. And this one's just, like, butthead.
Yeah, and she's like, and everyone's sweaty. Everyone is so sweaty
all
in this
time.
Movie.
It is
oh, my God.
Shit.
Like, the main character, like, there's a moment where I'm just like, you are so sweaty. I'm uncomfortable seeing how sweaty you are. I'm also just, like, by default, not a super sweaty person. So I'm just like, oh, God,
yeah,
that just looks
neither.
Uncomfortable.
Oh, it's so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't sweat too much.
Yeah, I know some people who, like, the second, like, they just move, like, they're mm-hmm. just like, oh, I'm sweaty. And I'm just like, sucks to suck.
But then again, I run cold and I have, like, almost no hair. So I'm just like a dolphin boy.
Fair. Fair. I also run cold, as we all know.
It's so weird, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, and I only attract women that run warm. It's fucking weird.
Lucky you.
No, it's makes. I want to cuddle, goddammit, and they're like, I am hot. Oh.
But at least you're. It's better than if you both run hot.
Oh my God.
Because then it would just be like a fucking furnace. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's true. And then when they touch my cold like skin, they're like, okay, now you can be on me because I need that.
Fucking vampire? Yeah. What the fuck?
Oh, my skin gets cold.
To be fair, I mean, same thing. Like, I'm just like, I'm cold, koala.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, ah.
Feel these fingers. These fingertips. Yeah. Look at that.
Ice cold.
Yep. I didn't pick up ice cubes, baby. Nah.
No, I'm just naturally like this.
Get in on. Let's
So why do you think, because we were just talking about this, the difference between cult classic films or cult classics and art house films, why do you think this movie became a cult classic outside of the obvious? It's like the story and the special effects.
Honestly, because this hard to find. It's hard to understand. This is not accessible. So I feel like this movie is a gem in the fact that I don't really think a lot of people are. It doesn't have a big old. There's not Wikipedia articles, or not Wikipedia articles, there's not, like, film articles, there's not a lot of YouTube videos, there's not a lot of stuff. So when people discover it, it's so unique, it kind of has to fall into that thing, because it's not a bad movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's really well made.
I didn't even look on YouTube, like, essays about...
It's hard to get a handle of what the general consensus thinks of this movie, to be honest with you. But I feel like also, but when people talk about it, it's, oh yeah, that fucking crazy ass movie?
Yeah.
Like, that's generally the vibe. Like, it really is kind of the definition of cult classic, because mm-hmm. it is such a small sample size of people that really have the opportunity to be exposed to it.
Sure.
And then when they find it, they're like, holy shit, this is unique. There's not things like this. Let's talk about it with people who can handle it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I think it really is, like, just cult classic 101. Like, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
For me, I think that it, like, the shocking nature of it, mm-hmm. and then the unique concept. I think a combination of those two. Mm-hmm. And then on top of, like, well, it's not shot... I don't want to say it's shot poorly, but it's not shot well. Like, it's perfectly, like... There was no point for me as, like, just your average Joe Schmo, like, movie watcher. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to say that. But, like, in terms of, like, cinematography, like, I don't know anything about cinematography.
Yeah.
So, watching it, I'm not going to be able to, like, oh, they did this shot. Or, oh, they did that shot. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be able to pull that apart. So, just watching it from that perspective, it didn't, like, nothing, like, pulled me out. Like, no cinematography or, like, no shots, like, pulled me out of the movie.
Yeah, there's no, like, there's not really a boldness until it gets to the orgy time, to be honest.
Agree.
With you. It's, like, Back to the Future, essentially. You're right. Yeah,
yeah,
just
like, it's just very plain.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Like,
the dialogue carries the scenes, not necessarily the actual shooting of the scenes.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what makes it a cult classic is like the uniqueness of the like the concept, and then the uniqueness of like just everything else.
Yeah,
it's just a unique film. Like, I think that movies that kind of try to make commentary on like American culture and like class and like status, it's also like not a common theme because most people who are making movies are not are kind of you know. Upper class.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least the ones who are getting, like, the big funding. The ones who are making, like, not independent features.
No, exactly. Yeah. Especially in this era, too. Like, you know, you get a lot of people who just burst into the industry, essentially.
Exactly.
Which is how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I think. Also, people like gross shit. Mm-hmm. Especially horror nerds.
Right. And again, you go from a Back to the Future format to Cronenberg.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Cronenberg... the body horror in this movie puts Cronenberg to shame at some parts, all the while writers and producers were thinking this was going to be your typical Hollywood horror mystery. Where's the disconnect? What do you think happened there?
Oh, they did too good on the special effects. That's what happened. They're like, wait, you weren't supposed to make this grotesque.
Right.
Sir, I am doing a... incestuous soup orgy with
a human incestuous body. Soup orgy, yes.
Yeah, human soup.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
The only way you can really do this is if you do it 100%. And they went 200%.
They went all in.
yeah. There was no way this is going to be mainstream. I think conceptually it was just beyond that. Again, this is when people loved yuppies. The fact that it shat all over them, I think, was a big old middle finger. This movie's a kind of a middle finger, to be honest with you. It's just as... It's a kind of rebellious movie, which I actually really appreciate. But that's not going to be mainstream. That's just not mainstream shit.
Yeah.
It really is. And then body horror itself, I think, is divisive anyway. So, not a lot working for it in terms of commercial success.
Yeah.
That's just not how it works.
In terms of commercial success, no.
In America.
Yeah. I mean, I would say in a lot of places. Well, no, France likes body horror.
Yeah. No, that's what, when they were talking about earlier, like, Europe was more receptive. Like, I can totally understand that. I can get that.
I can kind of get behind that. UK kind of, I mean, they have their whole video nasty thing going on. They didn't like...
They're kind of bitches, though. Like, it's fine.
How
about you? What you think?
I agree, actually. I wholeheartedly agree. I was going to say the same exact thing.
Right?
I think also that actually no, I don't. I have no thoughts. Head empty. I was actually gonna make a comment about Cronenberg and his new movie because I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard good things.
Oh man!
But everyone's saying it's like primo Cronenberg. So
Crimes of the Future. Well, we gotta.
I know we're gonna have to see it and give the horrible people consensus. But
I mean that will. Oh, that's a good. Yeah. Okay, we gotta watch it.
Yeah,
we gotta watch it.
We'll have to watch it at some point.
Yeah.
It just looks deeply uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. Cronenberg, I love Cronenberg so much. I'm so excited for Cronenberg Christmas this year. I still haven't decided what we're going to do yet, but it's coming up, guys, December.
That's true. Half of your way, baby.
Hell yeah. So moving right along for a fun little question. You think every authority figure in your life is out to get you. Who do you trust with the truth?
Oh my God, Alex Webster, I trust. I trust Alex Webster with the truth. I would also trust, like...
We would absolutely Scooby-Doo the fuck out of the situation. We would.
And Phil would be one of our people that we, like, confide into, and then he'd be in the body bag, like, within half an hour.
Yeah, because he would get too bold. He would go too hard too fast.
It's I got this footage of this thing you're talking about, and holy shit, this is actually going to blow the lid off of Phil. Oh. You didn't finish the text.
Phil, you didn't finish the text. Where are you, Phil?
Yeah.
Phil.
Wow, they found his body in a dish with his camera up his asshole. Oh,
what
my God.
What the fuck?
Wow. Can we get the SD card? that's how that would turn out.
You didn't hear us. It was up his ass.
Like,
so?
I mean, just, you know, use the wipes or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, make it
do
down.
What you gotta do, guys. I mean, it's your job.
Yeah, it's a newer camera. it's a perfectly protected card. Oh, wow. All the fluids went in it. Okay. Wow.
Wow.
It would have been pretty far up his ass.
Way up there. He got shunted with a camera.
And then...
If Phil's listening, hi, Phil!
Oh, you know what, though? I feel like one of us, though, once the actual climax of this film goes down, one of us is being, like, turned into the soup while the other
one of us is getting away. Yeah. Well, this is... your society.
You're in the soup then.
So I'm in the soup. You're the main character. Yeah. I'm just like, no.
And I'm like losing it.
I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll like it.
I know. No, you would. Oh, that's true. That's such a good point. I'm like, Alex, do you need me to save you? You're like, no, you know, this is actually not that bad. I mean, I'm going to die eventually. Like, if I'm going to go this way, this is
kind of a bad way to go. Kind of okay. I mean, he seemed pretty miserable. Like, what's his face? Whatever.
Blanchard,
yeah. Blanchard seemed pretty fucked up, but I don't know.
Yeah. You're like, I guess I'm part of society now.
I know. I made it. I'm in the upper crust of society.
Oh my God. Like, oh, hold still down there, buddy. These are where...
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, now one of us is getting souped up, and Phil's getting a camera in his asshole, and then James secretly in on it, but only because they got to him early. So,
out of all of us, James is part of society.
I mean, no, you're right. He wouldn't be. No. I don't know who would be. Fuck.
Yeah, because we're all like...
Yeah, and then, I don't know, fucking, I don't know, that's just how it'll work. I think really just Phil, and then James would genuinely die. He would get offed.
He'd get murked.
He'd get murked, probably pretty early just to establish that nothing's safe.
Yeah.
Damn. Like, he'd be the most outspoken and then, like, gone. So we're like, yeah, oh, how do we go?
He would say some, like, outlandish bullshit and be like, and then it'd just be like, where's James?
Yeah, guys. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I think that's how it would work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then again, we just flip it, one of us be soup.
Okay. Yeah, I can see it. I fucks with it.
Yeah. How about you?
I am trusting Anthony Fuentes with the truth.
See, I'm trusting you too.
No, I would... if I think every authority figure in my life is out to get me, one, I need to make sure I'm on my meds.
Yeah.
That's step one. If I'm on my meds, then I'm collecting evidence, and then I'm bringing the evidence to you, and then then we're making copies because we're smart bitches.
That's right.
And so we're going to make copies of everything and then distribute accordingly. And then I think that in the climax of the film, I don't know if one of us is necessarily going to be turned into soup, but I do think that, like, out of who's dying, Phil's gonna die.
Yeah, no, he's always gonna die, but Phil's like, he's really gonna get it this time.
Yeah. Maybe Phil's in the soup. Maybe, like, Phil's the one who gets pulled in and dragged into the soup.
Or James is with us the whole movie, and he's, like, the first one that's, like, souped up.
That's what I was thinking for Phil. And then, yeah, I don't know. I think James is just out in the car, just like not fucking with the situation. Yeah. He's just like, I will drive the getaway car, but I am not going in that building.
But he'd also kind of have that hesitance, be like, they haven't come out yet. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Then he'll roll up in, and that's when they get him for the soup.
I think James and Enrique would be able to pull us out.
Yeah. Okay. But one of them's going to get sacrificed.
One of them's going to have to get sacrificed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great... I like it. I like the arrangement.
Yeah, I think so. Someone's got to die.
Mm-hmm.
I think... Yeah, I don't know.
No, you know what? Reeks would have his recreational supplies with him. I think he'll make the orgy a lot more fun.
So they would just, like, convince him to stay?
They're like, you know, you can get in on this too, dude. Like, it's not that hard. It's like, oh... Well, I mean, if I get to live, that would be the angle.
I could hear him saying that. Yeah. He's like, well, if I get to live, fuck you guys. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. Yeah. I didn't figure it out.
Fun situation. Yeah. Yeah. So in my version of society, I think we both live, but most of our friends die.
Yeah, most of them die. And no matter what, Phil gets a camera up
his ass. No matter what, camera up the ass.
Camera up the ass for Phil. I agree.
But we need that SD card, so don't forget about that.
No, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. What are we rating this film out of? Rate this film out of 5 surreptitiously placed sex dolls.
Okay, cool. Wow, yeah, just popping out. Like.
Well, if I just, first of all, your Jeep is like open.
Yeah.
Like, I loved his Jeep, by the way. I want a Jeep so bad.
Oh God, my parents almost got me one of my first car. Yeah.
A Jeep? You would not do well in a Jeep. I'm sorry.
That's why. That was just like, I don't want it. Like, I was like young.
I would look good in a Jeep.
No. Yeah. The blow up dolls. Okay, I'll give me an extra 3.7 blow up dolls.
3.7. Okay. Yeah, 3.75 or 3.7?
Yeah, 3.75.
Okay.
3.75.
I can usually do it in quarter increments. That's true.
To me, it's just shy of a 4-star movie.
Okay.
I think the pacing's just off enough.
Sure.
And I really think it's not an accessible film. So that kind of limits it in a lot of ways. And then also, again, it's there's some parts that are almost too standard at the beginning.
Okay,
so that, to
sure.
me, like, it doesn't... But it plays it up so well. So again, that's why it's so high
up. I think
that's
like luring them into a false sense of security.
Yeah, it really takes a 180.
Yeah.
Like, it really, really does. But I think that's what elevates the film a lot. But it can just, it's just shy of a 4-star for me.
Okay.
Just shy.
I'm giving it a 3.9.
Oh, there you see?
I know we're not
even
doing
more quarter, shy.
I know. I think we're. I know I said quarter increments, but yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.9. Like, just like a hair,
mm-hmm.
just a touch shy of a 4, just because I gave Goodnight Mommy a 4.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can't give this a 4.
No, again, it goes to the art house cult classic distinction.
Yeah.
And Goodnight Mommy definitely fits the art house bill.
Fuck yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Mumbly and all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't in good conscience give this a 4 totally. It's fucking amazing. Like,
it's really good.
I really, really like this mm-hmm. movie. It's super fun. It's also just like in a weird in-between for me where it's like it's a really good watch, but it's not something I'm going to find myself continuously going back to.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Because exactly.
Because like at the very end, like I cannot emphasize this enough. As much as like I'm saying how fun it is, it's still a difficult watch.
Yeah, it's definitely also like a you watch every like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
like it's not a...
It's a 4 or 5 year watch, but it's also like when like one of your like horror buds is just like, I've never seen Society, and I'm
then
like,
yell, I'm not.
Park your ass on the couch,
that's
guys.
Right.
We're gonna watch this movie, and it's gonna be fun as shit.
Who else is in the film hadn't seen it? Let's all bring them over right now.
Yeah,
let's have a discussion about this. Yeah,
yeah,
it's one of those.
So yeah, anything else you'd like to say about Society?
It's shitter right now, but this movie is not in the shitter. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
check it out. It's free.
Yes.
And you might regret it, but you might not. So we'll
you see. Might regret it, you might not. Either way, it's like an hour and a half max. Like, it's not very long.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Yeah, so check it out. That being said, that was Society from 1989.
Yay,
thank
yay.
You so much, everyone, for listening. Next week, we are covering a vampire comedy.
Oh, yeah. Also, my preview for next week is it's an Alice Webster thirst trap. That's what that movie is.
Yay!
Alex Webster, Thirst Trap. This
yay!
Will be a thirsty experience. I'm writing it, so let's go.
Yes! I'm so excited. This is like my most like silly pick.
Yeah.
This is the one where I was just like, oh, let's do this, because it's on theme for everything about me.
It really is. And I've never seen it.
So I've never seen it.
Yeah.
You've never seen it. We could both hate it, which is a risk I'm willing to take for my one and only love.
That's right. That's oh boy.
Yeah. So it'll be fine. So join us next week for that. And if you like what you heard, please make sure you are subscribed wherever you are listening.
Yay, yay.
And if you are listening on iTunes or Spotify, make sure you leave us a rating. And if you're listening on iTunes, you can also write us a little review.
Mm-hmm.
It does actually help other people find the podcast, and it means the absolute world to us. You guys are the fucking best. We've
yes.
had, like, the last couple of months, I was just talking to Anthony about this. We've had the best last 2 months, like, ever in the history of the podcast.
Yeah.
So that's fucking awesome. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And if you think we deserve a couple bucks for what we do here at the podcast, we are entirely DIY and independent, so you can support us financially if you would like at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. We have tiers as low as $5 a month. That's right, a month. So check us out there. And if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. Yeah, so that's it for this week. Thank you so much, everyone, again for listening, and, maybe stay out of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, fuck Beverly Hills, they're all butthead.
Bye. Bye.